This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello. This episode is brought to you from my floor, which is very exciting, a little bit of a new setting. Usually I record from my bed, never my desk, okay? I used to do that, and then I decided, who the hell do I think I am? Recording from my desk? What do I run a startup? Jesus. So I started recording from my bed, and that was wonderful. But what I've noticed lately is that I've been having some issues with like white noise and just weird sounds in the background. And then I figured out that it got, who knows what's going on? It's technology. I don't know. I'm never going to get to the bottom of it because that would require learning about technology. I noticed that when I was in the corner of my room on the floor, which is like the furthest away I can get from my window and the thingies where the heat comes out, the sound quality gets a lot better. So that's why I'm here. I'm sitting on my floor in the corner, and I do not have a lot of floor space. So this would look suspicious to anybody who comes in. I literally have my laptop on an ironing board, but it feels very authentic and it feels very real and it feels just young and fresh and really like a girl who's doing her best. You know what I also feel like? It's almost very childlike. Because when I was a kid, I remember when I was a kid, there used to be this table that was occasionally in my room, I believe, for when I was doing arts and crafts. So it would be in my room, and occasionally I would take a queen size sheet and I would put it over the table so that it was completely down to the floor, and I could just lift up the sheet and sit under the table in my own little cave, and I would get a flashlight and I would read these books, this series that I loved. And by the way, I've looked for the series before, so if anybody knows what I'm talking about, let me know, because I love to go back and read the things that I used to read as a kid. It just gives me perspective as to, I guess, why I ended up like this. But it was this series about this girl who lived in this haunted mansion, and there were always secret passages and trap doors and all sorts of trickery in the house and like suits of armor and all that. And I think her uncle was like a bat. I remember him sleeping upside down. I don't know if he was a bat or that was just sort of who he was, but I've never been able to find those. And I would love to go back and read them. Honestly, the way I remember them still sounds very up my alley. Anyway, how are you guys? I hope you're doing well. I'm feeling very alive. I just shimmied, for the record. So if you just want to picture that, since this is audio only, I did just give a little shimmy. I'm feeling very alive because I just took a cold shower, not on purpose, not intentionally. That's not the kind of girl I am. But because I went to the gym, brag, and when I got back and I was sweating, because I broke a sweat, brag, I needed to take a shower, naturally. And then I discovered that my hot water was off, and I said, you know what? I'm going to make do. Hard times. We're going to get through this together. Me and myself, I guess. And I decided to take a quick cold shower and I washed my body. And then I wet my hair and I lathered my shampoo into my hair. I'm really getting into the nitty-gritty of this in case you don't know how a shower works, just to let everybody know. And then I was getting ready to rinse my hair, as you do. And I noticed the water had changed colors a bit. And I don't want to say it was brown, okay? But it wasn't clear. It sure was not. I would say it was tan, okay? Camel, maybe? Khaki? That was the color of the water, and I was like, well, I can't just leave the shampoo in my hair. So I wound up rinsing my hair off with dirty water. I guess that's the whole story. But you know what? My hair feels kind of good. I didn't even have the chance to use conditioner. It doesn't feel bad. So whatever ends up in tap water that makes it turn out to be brown or tan or camel or whatever, honestly, bottle it up. Contact Pantene. Oh my God, do you want to hear something that's unrelated to anything, but that I find so important and so significant to my life and many others? The other day, okay, I was in between classes and I went downtown because I had to meet with somebody to do something. It's none of your business. And I was a little bit early, so I was like, why don't I pick up a sugar-free Red Bull? And I went to the local Duane Reade and I was waiting in line and I heard these two girls in line talking. And I only heard about 15 seconds of the conversation, but one of them said to the other, they were talking about, I guess a friend of theirs had lost a purse. And she goes, oh yeah, it was one of those little shoulder bags. And she, like, it's gone. Like, she lost the purse and she lost everything in it. She lost her phone. She lost her wallet. She lost her keys. She lost, like, she just kept going on. And I was so, I was like in a trance. I was just obsessed with this woman who was telling her friend, almost as if for the first time, that when you lose a purse, you also lose the contents of the purse. Like, that was new information. I want to track those women down and I want to write a screenplay about them. I mean, a theme of myself and my life that always pops up is just my obsession with people who can talk about nothing. That is something, it's just like a pillar of my brain. I love, 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 love people who can talk about nothing. And granted, I do have a podcast where for an hour every week I talk about nothing, but I do, like, I say a lot of stupid shit and I don't know, make up opinions and stuff that I don't believe, but that's just because I don't know how to take one single thing and just say nothing about it for extended periods of time. Like, that's why I historically have shared many opinions that I don't really believe, but it's like, sometimes I just like to hear myself talk and I just like to say things, and sometimes I don't necessarily have an opinion, so I'm like, let me make something up. But those people who, whether they're like running a mega church or they get on social media and they kind of write think pieces about nothing, where they're like, this is what this phenomenon says about our culture, and the phenomenon is something that hardly exists and it says nothing about our culture, and that's all they're talking about, I'm like, I need to study you. I need to know everything about you. Like, do you remember back in the day when there would be those story time YouTubers, the Tana Mojos and the, not even her, because I remember I would watch her back in the day and she had some stories. I don't know if they were true or not. Shout out to her. She follows me on TikTok. I don't know if they were true or not, but she had some crazy stories. But there were also, like, when I was in high school and I was really into those types of videos, I would watch some of those and there would be 30-minute videos where someone tells a story in which nothing happens. It was incredible. It would be like, my Uber driver tried to kill me. And then it's 10 minutes in, they're still explaining why they were taking an Uber in the first place. And they're like, yeah, it was my friend Erica's birthday party. And the thing is, like, I don't really drive. Well, actually, I do have a driver's license, but sometimes I don't feel like driving. But that actually wasn't the case that day. What happened was I was having car troubles. And what happened with my car was that it broke down. And then someone took their jumper cables and they... whatever it's called, they brought it back to life. But then it was kind of acting weird. And I was like, well, if there's a problem with the brakes, I don't really want to mess with that. So then I brought it to the shop. And then the shop was like, we don't really notice a problem, but maybe you could take it to this other shop. And then it's like, okay, that's how I ended up taking an Uber. And you're like, oh my God, we're 15 minutes in. And we're just establishing that you took an Uber. And then they would tell this long, elaborate story and add all these details and be like, and then he turned the volume down on the music. And I don't really know why he turned the volume down. And I was kind of like, does he want to talk to me? But I didn't really feel like talking. And then he looked at me and like through the mirror. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. And then you get to the end of the video and they've been talking for so long that it almost feels like something happened. And then you look back. And you're like, what? When did the Uber driver try to kill them? Because I don't remember that part of the story. He took a wrong turn once. That was the entire story. But it's an incredible skill. I mean, how long have I been talking? I think maybe I do have the skill. Because how long did I just spend talking about storytime YouTubers? I could go for much longer, honestly. Maybe another time. We have other stuff to talk about today. For one thing, I went to the premiere of Pete Davidson's new show, Bupkis. Very exciting. I think by the time I post this episode, it'll have premiered. Not that I'm about to spoil anything. I just saw the first two episodes there. And I think it's on like, is it on Peacock? Paramount Plus? One of them. Whatever. But the premiere was crazy. Can I just say, first and foremost, Kenan Thompson touched my elbow. Let's just let that hang in the air for a second. Kenan Thompson touched my elbow. The right one, if you must know. Steve Buscemi was there. He didn't touch either of my elbows, but I would have loved him to. Ghostface Killa performed, which is crazy, a surprise performance by a member of the Wu-Tang Clan, especially at a Pete Davidson show premiere, is insane and very unexpected, but he was great. My friend said, I didn't really notice this, maybe it's because where I was sitting, but my friend said that Machine Gun Kelly was like standing in the wings. Like, they were just kind of waiting to see if he would come out. Apparently, it almost looked like he was standing there threatening to come on stage. But Machine Gun Kelly, God bless him, did not perform. I don't know what the reception would have been. Maybe good, because it was a Pete Davidson show, and they are famously besties. Pete talked before the show. And I'm trying to pull up my Instagram archive because it was on my story. And I want to describe to you exactly what he was wearing. Okay. He was wearing a gray hoodie with a like mid shin length denim coat, very long denim coat. There was also a pair of glasses hanging from his hoodie. And then he was wearing some sort of bulky pants that were tucked into a pair of Uggs. So if you didn't see my story, if you could just picture that. He is very good looking, though. I will say he's very good looking. I don't know why people act otherwise. I'm not saying I would ever date a stand-up, but I know sexy when I see it. That's all. Oh, hold on. I'm getting a call. Pennsylvania. One sec. Hello? Okay, hi, I'm back. But I am going to keep in that hello from my phone call before I stopped recording, just to show you guys kind of a peek behind the curtain of how I answer phone calls. You know, sometimes I just like to let people in and get a little glimpse of this crazy thing I like to call my life. So there you go, a little behind the scenes moment. Anyway, the show, Bupkis. Loved it. I haven't really read what everybody else has to say about it yet. And I don't really know what the critical reception is going to be, because sometimes something is just so far up your alley that you don't even know if it's objectively good or not. I mean, everything's subjective, whatever, but you know what I mean. I think it's good. I loved it. It's based on his own life, Pete Davidson, the famous celebrity Pete Davidson. It's a show based on his own life, kind of like The King of Staten Island was, which was a great movie, even though I watched it with my dad and there's a sex scene in it, but whatever. That was great, but what I loved about Bupkis is that it is about him now, like as a celebrity. And I love anytime a celebrity plays themselves. I talked about this last time with Jury Duty, and then I loved that James Marsden was playing himself. I just love that. The first scene, Pete Davidson is wearing these VR glasses and looking at articles about himself. And it's what you would expect. It's like Pete Davidson is living with his mom and he's a new type of guy called a scum guy. That kind of like the articles that for real are being written about Pete Davidson every day, because that's journalism now. And also then he starts watching porn on the VR glasses, and then something so gross happens. I don't even want to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. What I will say is, over the first two episodes, there are not one, but two kind of incestuous scenes. So that's potentially my least favorite part. It was a little heavy on the incest. Went a little hard on the incest. I loved Joe Pesci playing Pete's grandfather. He was so funny. And there were so many scenes where he was smoking. There's one scene where he starts smoking in the middle of a diner. And afterwards, I went with Tess, of course, as I do everywhere. As we walked out, I was like, "Do you want to smoke?" And she was like, "I'm going to get some cigarettes." Like, we both watched that, watched Joe Pesci start smoking in the middle of a diner, and we were like, "We have to get some Marlboro Lights. We gotta. And then we went to a club with these two girls that we had just met, and then we smoked outside, despite the fact that it was 40 degrees and we were both in mini skirts. But honey, when those Joe Pesci cigarettes start a calling, there's no saying no. So, I loved Bupkis. My only critiques? A lot of incest and caused me to chain smoke. You know what else I want to talk about? Can we talk about AI? I feel like I haven't talked about AI on this podcast nearly as much as I've thought about it. Because yesterday I tweeted about this issue, this exact issue that I'm about to discuss, where I have noticed, this is specific to the impact of AI on the job market, I have noticed that there are a lot of people going out there, going out into the world or out onto the internet and going, AI is going to take all of your jobs. They're like yelling at these poor people, these poor followers of theirs or whoever, and being like, "Whoever you are, AI is going to take your job, and you're not going to like it because then you won't have a job and you won't have any money. So get ready because AI is about to take your job." And first of all, I don't like when people talk like that and they don't offer anything that you can do, right? When people are like, "Oh, this is going to have terrible effects." And it's like, well, can I sign a petition? Hello? Is there perhaps an alternate career path that you would suggest I pursue so that AI doesn't take my job? Like those people, what do people call it? Fear-mongering? Is that what that is? Let me Google fear-mongering, because I think that's what it is. But I'm talking about specifically when people just try to make people scared and then offer no solution. Fear-mongering or scaremongering. Ugh, fear-mongering sounds so much better. The action of deliberately arousing public fear or alarm about a particular issue. I mean, yeah, I guess that's vaguely what I'm talking about. But to just get on the internet.com, get on the World Wide Web, and be like, none of you are going to have jobs. And what are we supposed to do about it? What are we supposed to do? But that's not my point. Okay, the point is that everybody who does that has like a tech or finance job. Anybody who's warning you about the impending doom of AI on your job, honey, they're coding and working in Excel all goddamn day. I don't think you should be out there going, the British are coming, the British are coming. The British are coming for you. For you. And who knows, maybe AI will take all of our jobs. I mean, you know, I'm unemployed now, so AI wishes it had this gig. Sorry. Maybe it'll take every job in the economy. Guess who it's coming for first? The tech. The finance. If you're working on computers all day, working on spreadsheets, should you be the one telling people that AI is going to take everybody's job? Or should you be the one going to trade school and learning how to plumb, learning how to fix pipes, because your quote-unquote skills are going to be useless in the next few years by your predictions, according to you? The nerve of these people to get on their high horse and start talking about, oh, you guys are fucked? You regular people are fucked? Honey, you're working from your MacBook in Puerto Rico when your company is located in Chicago. Guess who's first to go? Not the truck driver. I'll tell you that much. Not the nanny. Not the cashier. See, now I'm almost on the side of AI taking people's jobs because the jobs it's gonna take, do we like those people? Come close. Let's be honest with each other. Do we like those people? This is what's sort of helping me sleep at night in a world of fear-mongering vocab word about AI taking everybody's jobs. Is I'm like, well, the jobs they're gonna take are the people who have consistently looked down on the jobs that AI isn't gonna take, right? The artists, the liberal arts majors, the blue-collar workers. And of course, like, AI is scary, and I'm sure there are going to be plenty of, like, lower-paying jobs that could potentially be lost to AI, and that's really unfortunate, but I just wanted to take a moment to speak to those people who I'm talking about right now who work in those high-paying fields doing God knows what and are yelling at everybody else about AI. I just wanted to say, when ChatGPT takes over your job, I'm going to tell you what you've been telling everybody else. Get a real job. Anyway, speaking of something I tweeted, I had a controversy recently. When have I not? Anyway, I posted on Twitter about a phenomenon that I've talked about before, which is it's called the book blob. It's basically a way that a lot of book covers have been designed, especially the past handful of years or so. I can't really tell you exactly when this trend peaked, but I would say around early pandemic. If I had to guess, it's these abstract, like, book covers where it's just kind of blobs and shapes and they're all bright. And then there's the text that kind of gets lost in all the blobs and the shapes. And all of these books look the exact same. It's just this weird phenomenon. And then I tweeted a picture of, like, a digital collage of a bunch of those types of book covers. I guess it was created by somebody who wrote an article about the phenomenon, who, by the way, quoted my tweet. So I just wanted to take this moment just to not give her a shout out because she basically rephrased my tweet in a way that was very condescending. So in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't give her credit because she does seem to be evil. Not to get myself into more trouble, but I'm just saying, there's no harm in saying. But what I had said was like, oh, I wonder how many good books I missed out on because they looked like this. Completely innocuous tweet, right? Just saying, when a bunch of books have the same design choices, poor design choices, when they have a cover that is A, indistinguishable from other covers, and B, ugly, I'm probably not going to pick out that book. And the tweet went kind of viral, and then people started coming for me and basically just saying, not you judging a book by its cover. You're literally judging a book by its cover. And I was so tickled by this controversy because judging a book by its cover is a phrase. You know what I mean? That's not something that's in the Bible. Don't judge a book by its cover. Maybe it is. I don't know. I haven't read the Bible. That doesn't really sound like the tone that I would imagine it uses. But I love that people are taking a common phrase as if it's just a rule for life and applying it in the most literal way. It's like if I were to post, just cried over spilled milk, and someone would be like, not you crying over spilled milk. You're not supposed to cry over spilled milk. That's what they say. That's the rule. So I just wanted to catch you up on that controversy. That is my latest crime, is literally judging books by their covers. So my apologies. Speaking of books, I made the very impulsive decision earlier today, and I might regret this, and it's entirely possible that I may not follow through with this, but I downloaded the audiobook for It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, because I want to give a book report on this podcast. Not necessarily as the whole episode. I don't think I'm going to be taking extensive notes. I just want to know what's up. I just want to know. Because It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, if you don't know, it's like a video, or not a video, it's like a book that has gone viral on like TikTok and stuff. I think young people really, really like it. I think it's either young adult or it's one of those regular books that's like kind of a young adult, like you know what I mean. And it's very controversial, not necessarily for its subject matter, but just because, you know, it's being promoted by people who are posting about books on TikTok. So that should give you some idea of what people may think about it. I guess it's considered kind of a book for people who don't read but do watch TikToks. And I'm dying to read it. Because some people say that, and then some people, the ones who are making the TikToks, are saying, this changed my life. It's the best book of all time. I've seen many people reading it in public, mostly at airports. And I haven't even flown that much recently, so I guess it's just a really popular airport book, which I get. Your taste kind of changes at airports. Something shifts. The last time I flew, I watched Dear Evan Hansen on the plane, so you don't necessarily have the most highbrow taste you've ever had in a context like that. But I want to find out both what all the hype is about and also what all the hate is about. And I know I'm a hater. I know most of what I do on this podcast is complain, but I'm going to go in with an open mind. Okay? Listen, I don't have the best of taste at times. I'm not above finding a Colleen Hoover book good. I really am not. I like Adam Sandler movies. I wear the odd chicken feather. I have never claimed to have exceptional taste, and I never will. So I'm going to read this book, and we're going in with an open mind and an open heart. I'm not saying we're coming out with an open mind. Okay, whatever happens, happens. But I am open to enjoying this. We'll see. I should read the description because I haven't really read it. I just know what people have said about it. By the way, I didn't pay for it. I went on the Simply E app from New York Public Library. I don't know if every public library system has an app, by the way, but if yours does, you better get on that. Get a library card, download the app, life-changing. You can listen to so many, you could also read, but who wants to read on your phone, right? You can listen to so many audiobooks for free. Shout out to public libraries. It's crazy that in this, not to get all whatever, but in this fucked up world we're living in, we still got public libraries. We should be keeping a gratitude journal every day and at least writing down public libraries. That's incredible. Are you kidding me? The bar is low. We don't even have free healthcare in this country, but we have buildings that we can go to and just give them our information, and then they give us a little plastic card, and we can check out books, and we can download an app and virtually check out books. That's amazing. That's amazing. I will say, public libraries should be 24 hours. Anyway, the newest, highly anticipated novel from beloved number one New York Times bestselling author Colleen Hoove. Sometimes it is the one who loves you who hurts you the most. I said I would go in with an open mind. I'm already, judging the description of it. But sometimes it's the one who loves you who hurts you the most. Yeah, I've seen Dateline. Okay, Lily hasn't always had it easy, but that's never stopped her from working hard for the life she wants. She's come a long way from the small town in Maine where she grew up. She graduated from college, moved to Boston, and started her own business. So when she feels a spark with a gorgeous neurosurgeon, love, named Ryle Kincaid? All right. Everything in Lily's life suddenly seems about too good to be true. Ryle is assertive, stubborn, maybe even a little arrogant. He's also sensitive, brilliant, and has a total soft spot for Lily. And the way he looks in scrubs certainly can't hurt. Lily can't get him out of her head, but Ryle's complete aversion to relationships is disturbing. Open mind. Open mind. Is this a romance? Hold on. I think I downloaded. Is this going to be porn? This might be porn. Even as Lily finds herself becoming the exception to his no dating rule, she can't help but wonder what made him that way in the first place. Oh my God, did somebody hurt him? Do you guys think somebody hurt him? Maybe somebody hurt him. I lost my place. As questions about her new relationship overwhelm her, so do thoughts of Atlas Corrigan. Open mind. Open mind. This is so hard for a hater like me. I'm really trying to be more positive in my life. But sometimes, this is a toughie. Okay, her first love and a link to the past she left behind before Boston. Uh-oh. He was her kindred spirit. Her protector. When Atlas suddenly reappears, everything Lily has built with Ryle is threatened. With this bold and deeply personal novel, Colleen Hoover delivers a heart-wrenching story that breaks exciting new ground for her as a writer. Combining a captivating romance with a cast of all too human characters, It Ends With Us is an unforgettable tale of love that comes at the ultimate price. It sounds like it's going to be porn. Is she going to get with both of them? I actually hadn't read the description before I downloaded it, but now that I have, I'm more ready than ever. It doesn't sound like it's going to be taught in English classes anytime soon, but two guys and one of them's a hot neurosurgeon? Don't mind if I do. And also, been there, hello. The audiobook is 12 hours long, but I'm gonna listen to it, and I will report back. And honestly, I can't wait. Anyway, Let's answer a couple questions. Someone said, dying to know your thoughts on NYC summers and how to make them bearable. Well, it's May. It's the beginning of May. A very relevant question. Let's discuss it because I love New York summers. I really, really do. I know everybody complains about them, and I understand why. It does smell like garbage. It does smell like piss. You walk home at night, people are getting blackout and vomiting on the streets. It's so hot, waiting for the train. The parks are packed, etc., etc. All valid. I still love them. Especially, like as a transplant, the reason I came to New York from the suburbs where I grew up is because it's like I just want to, I don't know, have so many more opportunities to do stuff, right? I want to just take a walk down the block and you never know what happens. You could meet a new friend on the street. You could decide to go into some bar and wind up on some adventure. Who knows? I mean, maybe that's less about the city and more about me being impulsive, but you know what I mean. And summer really lets that happen. You can just walk around and see what happens. You can, oh my God, you can walk home at night because it's warm. That's my, I love walking home at night. Not to endorse walking home alone at night in the dark when you're a woman and you've probably been drinking, but you know what? Throw a button down over your outfit and carry a weapon. You will have so much fun. It's so nice. Plus, you can go on picnics, drink champagne in the park. Oh, lovely. Anyway, my tips to make it bearable. First of all, you gotta consider the whole sweat factor, especially waiting for the train. Waiting for, oh my God, there is nothing worse. I still love summer in New York, but there is nothing worse than when you're waiting for the train on like a steaming hot platform and it just won't come and it won't come. And you're like, oh my God, I have to be somewhere. Now I'm sweating so much. I'm so uncomfortable. But then, of course, that train does come and you get a gorgeous breeze. First of all, sleeveless tops all day. Or a sleeveless dress, whatever it may be, you know, halter, spaghetti straps, regular, sleeveless. Do you know what we should bring back? Do you know what we should bring back? I don't know if anybody else remembers this. I remember this so hard because when this was a thing, there was nothing more I wanted in the world. But Justice, the, are they still around? The like clothing store for teenage girls, they used to sell these tops. It was like a tube top, but it would come with two straps that you could take off. And then it was like, you can wear it as a tube top. You can tie the straps together and make it a halter. You can wear it as a tank top. You can crisscross the straps. Oh my God, I never got one of those. I wanted it so badly. I think we should all, there's got to be an adult version. We should all get on that. Anyway, sleeveless tops. Some people are able to wear like tight t-shirts without sweating through. I don't know who those people are, but I'm not one of them. I surely am not. And even if you don't sweat through, you don't want to have to worry that you might. Also, like I said, and like I've always said, get a button down to wear over whatever you're wearing, whether it's yours, whether it's an ex-lover's, I don't know. But then you can wear this, first of all, on the train when it's hot, but you don't want anyone to harass you. If you're wearing a mini skirt and you're sitting down somewhere and you don't want your skin to be touching the seat, you can put it on the seat. If you're out with your friends, someone spills a drink, hell, use it as a napkin. It's just an ex-lover's button down. What do we care? And then, of course, if it gets a little chillier at night, you have a light little thing to put over you. That's what you gotta do clothing-wise. Check out if there's any street markets near you. There's one that occasionally pops up near me, and it's so fun to look through. You can get a pair of earrings for like $5. So much of my jewelry is just bought in the street. Flea markets, too. Those don't just happen in the summer, but they're a great summer activity. Try to befriend somebody with a beach house, right? Befriend, date, whatever. See if you can get an invite to the Hamptons or Nantucket or whatever. But if you don't get an invite to the Hamptons, that's fine. Don't go. That's possibly one of my biggest pieces of advice. Don't be one of those people who, like, gets a hotel room in the Hamptons so they can feel all Gossip Girl by being in the Hamptons. The only point of the Hamptons is that people have houses there. People don't go there because it's like a fabulous beach or there's an incredibly rich culture. It's the Hamptons. It's fine. If someone you know has a house there, go. If they don't, it's not really worth the trip. Go to Provincetown or something. And the last thing I'll say, drink lots of water. Because in the summer, if you're anything like me, you're sweating and you're drinking. So balance out those fluids and have fun. Someone else wants to know, any things to say / do when you're on a boring date and want to put on a show and be silly? Oh, an area of expertise for me. I mean, a lot of my work in these situations is done in the moment, so I can only give you really a few ideas, but if this is your goal, you'll have so much fun. Because when I was younger, I used to go into dates and be like, how am I going to seem interesting and funny to this person? And now I go on dates and I'm like, how am I going to be interesting and funny for myself and really kind of alienate the other party and make them uncomfortable and make them wonder what's happening and why they're at this restaurant right now? Okay, a few different ways. Possibly my favorite is to try to relate to them on something, but make sure it isn't true. That's the key. Try to relate to them, but don't actually bond. Make sure it's a lie. For example, he says, yeah, I'm a software engineer. It's whatever. This is what I study. This is what I do now. You go, oh, yeah. My sister is a software engineer. Your sister is not a software engineer. And he's like, oh, my God, where does she work? And that's when your improv skills come. Those follow-up questions, that's your chance. And then in your head, you go, oh, God, I don't know any places a software engineer would work. I mean, you probably do. For example, the famous company of Google. But let's just say you don't know anywhere a software engineer would work. Perfect. And that's when you adapt to the situation. And that's when you go, oh, well, actually, my sister and I, we're not really in contact anymore. So that's why I don't know where she works. Yeah, I don't know, it's kind of personal. But just to share a little bit with you, there was this moment where we were still living at our parents' house and I was living in the garage because we were like out of bedrooms and I made it a home kind of, and I really enjoyed living in this garage. And then one day I noticed something weird, and I noticed this weird chemical smell. And then I tried to light a candle. And then the entire garage went up in flames. And then I realized that my sister was trying to kill me. But luckily, I made it out alive. And the fire department came pretty quickly. And there wasn't a ton of damage to the house. Like, luckily, my parents had a really good insurance thing. So it wasn't tragic or anything like that. But it really could have been. And I don't understand why she would do something like that. To this day, I've never gotten an answer as to why she would try to kill me, because she just refuses to talk to me. And I don't know if it's like I did something and that's the reason she tried to kill me, and that's the reason she won't talk to me anymore. Or maybe it's like she does feel so much guilt that she doesn't want to interact with the person who she would do something like that to. But yeah, I have heard that she's working as a software engineer now. Something like that. Maybe don't make up a tragic story, because that's kind of fucked up, toying with her emotions like that. That's just kind of what came out of me in this moment. But that is a very fun way to implement this practice, is to just make up a lie that you're unable to really elaborate on, and then come up with some sort of story to justify that. What else? I mean, I think the classic thing is just try out some material. I don't know if you write jokes. I don't know, maybe you do stand-up. Maybe you just have the occasional funny thing you write in your notes app. But if that sounds like you, test out some material. That's more low stakes than getting on stage, right? When somebody's attracted to you. By the way, I just got the sketchiest email about this podcast. Let me just read this to you. Okay, somebody wrote, "Hello, my name is blank, and I represent a PR agency." And mind you, they wrote, "I represent a PR agency." Not which one. They didn't bother with which one. "I'm reaching out to you about Let Me Ruin Your Life," which is in a different font size than the rest of it, so you know she pasted it in, "because we are regularly in need of podcast placements for our clients on different podcast channels. Most of these placements are generic interviews or business-related talks." Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this podcast. How many business-related talks have I had? Come on. The only people who ever email me about this podcast, by the way, are people who work at like sketchy PR agencies that have like website links that don't work, who are like, "Would you like to have my client on your podcast? She built up a multi-million dollar business and would love to talk about strategy. She worked as a recruiter for 10 years and would love to talk about resumes. She's a wellness influencer, and she would love to talk about vaginal health." And I'm like, have you reached out to every podcast on earth? Because it doesn't seem like you narrowed it down to your target market. Should I just have one of those people on one of these days? Because there is one agency that always emails me. Let me try to find one of these. I won't say the name. Okay, here's one. This is who they're reaching out to have on this podcast. "An internet culture, digital pop culture, and Web3 evangelist who focuses on the new age of the internet known as Web3, where NFTs, crypto, and the blockchain all thrive." Mind you, they sent me this email like 2 months ago. Honey, crypto is over. Best of luck. Hope you had fun in 2021. Anyway, back to the question at hand. Okay, the last thing, the last little prompt I'll give you is find something that like you want to say on the date, something completely random, an animal fact. It could be, like I said, a joke. It could be a story about an elementary school teacher you had. Find some random thing that you want to incorporate into the conversation that would be difficult to incorporate into the conversation, and then figure out somewhere to put it. That's one of the ways I used to entertain myself on bad dates, is like they would be talking and I would be like, "Don't care, don't care, don't care," not listening. "Oh, I should mention that like poppy seeds can make you test positive for opiates in a drug test." And then I'd go back to the conversation and they'd be like, "Yeah, that's how I got my job." And I'd be like, "Oh my God, did you ever have to take a drug test for a job? And if so, did you happen to eat a bagel beforehand? Because I heard something wacky can happen." So There you go. There's a bit of a jumping off point for you. But have fun and keep in mind, a boring date can easily turn into an improv class. Anyway, as for media of the week, I haven't really had time for much because I've been primarily rewatching And Just Like That in anticipation of the second season that I think is coming out next month. And honestly, the more I watch it, the more I'm convinced that it is just unbelievably brilliant as a show. I mean, what other remake has been bold enough to not only completely ruin one of the main characters, but also to bring in a new character that became one of the most disliked characters in all of TV history? It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I can't give it enough credit. I mean, I can't in good faith call it a good show, but once that second season comes around, you better believe I will be seated and tuning in. But the only other thing that I really watched was John Mulaney's new special, Baby J, where he talks about his addiction and going to rehab and all that, and I loved it. Loved it. Thought it was brilliant. I mean, especially coming from someone who had such a public moment like that. Like, there have been so many celebrities that have had changes in their reputation and all sorts of headlines written about them, but rarely do you get to see them talk for an hour straight about that experience. And I loved to see it. Thought it was very insightful. I mean, I'll try not to spoil the material, but there was one line where he was talking about how his reputation has changed and all that, how the kids like Bo Burnham more, and he was like, I'm an addict. There's nothing you can do to me that's worse than what I've done to myself. And I was like, that is such a line. And that's kind of a great message for, like, not just addicts, any of us with self-destructive tendencies. No one can ruin your life quite like you can. And I loved the end of the special where he reads through a GQ interview that he had like a week before he went to rehab. And honestly, the interview wasn't something that I would think was just like so outrageous had I just read it, but the delivery was incredible. So funny. Highly recommend Baby J. But that's all for today. I have to go get up off the floor, but I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.